This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com. Welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. Today I have a very special guest, Jack Ochoa, a passionate educator, entrepreneur, and expert in learning and corporate development. Jack has been a business and community leader dedicated to supplier diversity and inclusion for more than 25 years. He has held various positions with top-tier corporate and small business associations, minority business groups, and education outreach organizations across Southern California. Jack has extensive experience with numerous corporate and government buying policies and procedures for small business owners. Under Jack's leadership, key advocacy, civic, political, and community leaderships, public policy, and corporate initiatives benefiting small businesses have been pursued and approved. And I'm so excited to have Jack here, not only because I want to learn about government opportunities and the certifications and everything, but I think all of our listeners need to learn about Jack's wealthy knowledge and the services that he provides. So Jack, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you today.
Well, thank you for having me. And thank you for this opportunity to share with the community that there's so many opportunities for small business out there.
Thank you. So I would love to learn about how you got into this. You know, this is an entrepreneurial show. So my first question is usually, how did you get into this? Did you figure out how to solve your own problem, or was it by chance? We would love to learn about that.
So really, my passion comes from my father and my mother. So my father and mother, they're immigrants to this country back in the 60s. And so when they met on their journey here to Los Angeles, they were entrepreneurs because obviously they were trying to survive in this new country. So they literally walked across the border. They made sure they had all their paperwork in order. They walked over legally, made sure they had all their stuff in order because they wanted to make sure that they made this their home. So that was number one priority. As a result of that, they wanted to make sure they contributed to the community. And so one of the things that my dad always did, and I never understood it as a kid growing up, but this guy was the hardest working man I knew, and I didn't get it. One of the things that I didn't get was he was always trying to help other people out. So he was the other small businesses in the community. He would find a way to include them in the projects that he was working on, which I thought was an interesting concept. At the time, I didn't quite get it because I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why are you helping them out? What about us, right? But I'm like, oh, like years later, I'm like, oh, now I see what he's doing. What he's doing was he's helping people by giving them a hand up and not a hand out. And that's where I'm like, oh, okay. That's what he was doing way back when in the 70s. Okay, so I just come from a family of entrepreneurs. Again, my dad was an entrepreneur. My mom Avon and Princess House and all of the, you know, other little like multi-level marketing stuff that they would do back in the day. So my mom did all that. And my dad did the same thing. So my dad had his own furniture company. And way back when in the 70s, he started a furniture company, real small. And then he just kept growing and growing and growing. But in that process, he made sure he always included local small businesses in order to help the business grow. I mean, makes sense, right? So I had an opportunity to go to Glendale High School, went to Glendale College. And then after Glendale College, I actually got a chance to transfer to the University of Southern California, AKA USC. When I graduated from USC, I had to find a job. And of course, as most young, hungry kids out of college, I had to take whatever job was available to me. Well, one of my friends used to work at Xerox and he said, hey, I have an account that we need some help with and we don't know anybody who's willing to do it. I'm like, all right, open mouth, sticking foot, right? That was me. And so I took on this little tiny agency called the City of Los Angeles. Nobody wanted to deal with it. They're like, no, it's too hard, it's too complicated. The advantage that I had is that I had a lot of inside information. My mother-in-law had been working there for about 20 years. So I kind of make people knew people who knew people, and like, okay, hey, let's educate Jack. So one of the things that came out of it was during the 90s, there was a vote, and it ended affirmative action. Prop 209 in 1996 ended affirmative action. So as a result of that, everything shifted over to small business. So I don't think everybody got the memo on that, but this, which is fine. So Richard Reardon at the time, he was the mayor, said, hey, Xerox, why don't you guys figure out a way to work with small business? And so we worked at it. We said, we got to figure this out. How do we help small businesses out? So as a big company, our mission was to help small businesses, which totally made sense. So I became very passionate because I understood the policies that were in place, both in the city and the county and the school district, and then up and down the state. Because if you think about it, all businesses, including Coca-Cola, they were a small business at one point. Amazon, I know it seems kind of hard to believe, but yes, those guys were a small business at one point. So all these the Colonel, KFC, that guy was a small business too. They were all small businesses. So I think that's the point. I just became very passionate about helping small businesses. So that's how I got into this, because I saw an opportunity to give my fellow brothers and sisters a hand up and not a handout.
That's amazing. I love it. I love how you saw the bigger picture, right? Not just you in this little circle, but you just saw the whole world, I guess. The community is our world at the moment, you know, and COVID definitely, the pandemic proved that our community is our world, especially when there's shutdowns and so on. But I have so many questions for you, Jack, in terms of, you know, what you do. To me, this whole world of the government procurement process and the contracting and the certifications, it just seems so complicated. I keep thinking, you know, I started the process myself back a year ago, and it's just been this ongoing sort of like, what do I do now? I don't know where to begin. And I, you know, and I'm so happy. I feel so blessed that I came across you, and that you have all the expertise, but you also have, you know, an online program, a platform where people can go and benefit and learn and also get your consultation, which we'll get to it later into our conversation. But I wanna understand a little bit more about what you do. You know, how do you make it happen?
Well, so one of the things that I want you to understand, not just you, but the listeners, is that it's actually not difficult to deal with the government. It's actually not difficult to want to sell to the federal government, to the local government, to the state government. It's actually easier than you realize. What happens is many times we see this gigantic elephant or whale, and you're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to eat it? So I want you to think about that for a moment.
That was me.
How do you eat an elephant? So I'm asking you, how do you eat an elephant?
God, I mean, I would just try to, oh my God. That's such a tough question to ask, because little by little is not going to work. It's too big. So just bite the biggest part, I guess.
So here's the answer. Here's the answer. And I think your listeners will appreciate this. The answer is one morsel at a time. One morsel at a time. Because a bite is even too big. If you think about it, a bite is too big. Well, and here's why I say this. It is not complex. It is actually a lot easier. The SBA, the Small Business Administration, when they created all these rules and all these policies, they were designed for small business. Here's the downside. The downside is that small business doesn't take advantage of the small business programs. Big business does. Yep. And I can say that because I was one of those in the four companies I used to work for, Xerox, Grainger, Aramark, Toyota. We took advantage of the small business programs. We're like, well, if the small business doesn't want it, then we'll just go get the money. Because if they don't want it, then we'll take it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where small business doesn't fully understand that it's actually easier than you realize. Because I want you to think about it from this perspective. If the policy says that anything under let's say $1,000 or $500, depending on what part of the country you're in. Let's assume that you can buy it without having to get a contract, because immediately people think, oh, government contract. No. Let's not do that. Because think about it. Is a credit card a contract?
I mean, yes, in a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are they parting with their money?
Right. Yes.
Yes. Here's a different one. If they give you a purchase order, not a contract, if they give you a purchase order, is that a transaction?
It is. Yeah.
So I want you to think about this. And I know you have a calculator. So get a calculator out. Just have your listeners do it. Listen, listeners, please get your calculator. I'm going to show you something crazy.
I love this. I have my calculator.
Give your calculator out. Okay, check this out. Do $1,000.
Okay.
Times 250 working days.
That's $250,000.
So let's think about that for a moment. You are a small business. How would $250,000 have an impact on your business?
Huge impact. For 90% of the businesses, that's twice the amount they make in a year.
Well, hold on a minute. I'm going to give you a crazier number. LA County has a policy that anything under $5,000 goes to small business only. LA County. That would be LA County Sheriff, LA County Fire, LA County, you name it, LA County Department. So let's do the math. Again, listeners, please do the math.
Okay.
4,950. Go ahead.
Okay, done.
Times 250.
Oh my God, that's 1.2 million.
Well, let's not get crazy, okay? Let's just do one transaction a week. So let's calm this down a little bit. Do the same number, 4,950.
Okay.
Times 52, because there are 52 weeks.
Right. That's 257,000. Wow. That's incredible.
Twice we've come up with the same number.
That's incredible. There's so much money on the table that people can go after and they just don't know how.
Here's the crazy part. Here's the absolutely crazy part. Every half a second, the government is spending $1,600. Wow. Every half a second. Not every second, every half a second. You can try to do the math. Good luck trying to do that math. But that number is going to be in the trillions.
Wow.
In the trillions, not millions, trillions.
And the businesses that can take advantage of this opportunity can range from any industry, right? Like any verticals, literally. Like I'm considering it for my marketing agency, but give me some examples of the type of businesses that could take advantage.
I'm going to give you some examples. This question comes up all the time. Well, Jack, I sell flowers. Does this apply to me? Yes.
Wow.
Jack, I'm a barber. How does this apply to me? Well, let's assume that there's somebody doing a community outreach event and they need barbers to go help because, you know, we have this homeless issue right now here in LA or wherever. We have a homeless issue across this country. So you know what? Maybe they need services where they bring in outside people to help them with some type of community project. Are you going to say no to that work? No, you're going to say yes. So that's an opportunity. And so the other one that people come up with, well, I'm an electrician. How does this apply to me? And how would I work with the government? Well, check this out. They have small projects that never go out to bid. Small projects that they'll say, hey, I need this outlet to replace. So let me look for a small business that I can give this work to. And I'll give them a PO or a credit card for $4,950.
Wow.
You're hearing me, right? I'm not the only one that heard that.
Yeah.
It doesn't go out to bid.
Wow. Okay. This is so exciting. I am so excited. I can't wait to dive into the how. So how do we get started? Or is there anything else we should know before we jump into the how? I'm going to kind of let you lead this.
I think on the how, it's understanding that everything is a process, right? And I think this is where a lot of entrepreneurs struggle. This is where they struggle at, is they say, well, you know what? I'm not a corporation, so how do I do this? I'm a sole proprietor, you know, I'm Joe Smith, and I want to do this. Okay, Joe Smith, do you have a Social Security? Yeah, I do. Okay, we'll call Lupe Sanchez. Lupe, do you have a Social Security? Yeah, I do. Great, then you're good. You literally go into the state website or the city website, and you literally, because it'll ask you this one question, what is your legal name? Well, my name is Lupe Flower Shop, but it's a sole proprietor. So you have to fill out the paperwork correctly. And I think that's where people get tripped up. They're like, well, I'm too small. Well, guess what? Here's the crazy part about it. How are you going to participate if you don't get involved?
Right.
How are they going to know you exist? How is this place behind me, right? Right here, it's both the state and the city. How are they going to know you exist if you're not willing to participate in their system? You've got to get in. You've got to get in there, right? I mean, I remember a couple of my friends when I lived in Glendale. And when I went to Glendale High School, there's a bunch of mechanic shops. They're like, Jack, how does this apply to us? Mm-hmm. So the way that applies to us is they have cars that need to get repaired because maybe their body shop is overwhelmed, and then they'll outsource it because they need it fixed now. Wow. So you're like, well, wait a minute. There's all this work? Yeah, there's all this work. And the biggest problem both the city, the county, and the state have is that they can't find enough vendors, which is absolutely insane. How they're saying, Jack, we can't find enough vendors. The city of Los Angeles right now, I just heard the number yesterday, they have 75,000 vendors in their system.
That's it?
Their goal for this coming year is to double that number. I'm like, what do you mean there's only 75,000 in your system? There is over 2 million businesses here in LA County. What are you talking about? Well, Jack, they're not registered. We only have 75,000 choices. We want more choices. We want to spread the love out, but we can't find them.
What an opportunity. What an opportunity for small businesses to jump on right now. And like I said, you know, I have a master's degree. I'm an experienced serial entrepreneur, and I found it to be challenging in a sense, because I think probably because there's just so many different places to go, and I really didn't know how to get started, how to do it. And you're right. Once you begin, it's not that complicated. But I do believe that some guidance is important, that mentorship, that coaching as to step one, step two, step three. And that's where you come in. And that's where when I met you, I was like, Jack, you have to come on my show. We have to share this with my listeners, because this is what I've been looking for myself for years, and I couldn't find it. And then every time I would get online and do the research myself, I wasn't confident whether I was going the right direction or whatever. And I'll give you an example. When I started last year this process, I started from step 20. I registered at sam.gov instead of starting the registration process and the certification process at the local level, state level. I just jumped to sam.gov because that's what my research told me to do. And so this is why I'm so excited that you are sharing all this information with our listeners. And what I would love to dive a little bit deeper into, and now that we cover, you know, the type of businesses that could be involved, which I never thought that barbershops and mechanics could also become vendors. That is just, I mean, that's amazing. And, but let's sort of go into the, if a business, for example, like myself, I have a marketing agency and I've been serving the Fortune 500 companies for the past almost 5 years. And if I'm trying to see what opportunities there are, because my agency has a lot of capabilities, right? But I do know that honing in on one and maybe going in as an expert in that one thing might be a benefit. Or should I keep my diverse sort of expertise? You know, that's where I would love to get your thoughts on. And my second question is, how would I know what the government or the state or the local the opportunities are so that I can maybe pivot my stuff a little bit? Because we've got a lot of capabilities, but is there a way for me to go and find out what are they looking for so that I can position myself to fit that need?
Okay, so I'm going to give you an example, and this is going to be an exercise for all of us, both listening and watching, okay? So I only have one question for you. Do you have a horse outside in your garage?
No, not at the moment, unless a car is considered to be a
horse. No. Listen to what I asked. Do you have a horse? The answer is no. You have a car, correct?
Right.
So this guy, Henry Ford, came up with an idea. Hey, why don't we do this thing instead of the horse and we can get around faster?
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.